today I kind of wanted to deviate a little bit from the tax world. We've been talking about policy and proposals and votes and everything else. Let's have a little fun today.
Okay.
And let's do a case relative to a guardianship matter.
Okay. We'll have fun at somebody else's expense. Right?
So this is a case out of California. And just to kind of set the stage for you, when we talk about guardianships, we talk about individuals who are determined to be unable to handle their affairs.
Okay.
So they're deemed to be a petition is filed, Mike, to adjudicate an individual incompetent is the word that's used here in North Carolina.
Okay.
And then the determination is made whether or not that individual is incompetent and whether or not they need what's called a guardian of the person, a guardian of the estate, or a general guardian, which is a general guardian is a guardian of both the person and the estate.
Okay.
And when I mention the person, I mean that's really making healthcare related decisions for that individual if they're unable to do so. Guardian of the estate is an individual that manages the person's money.
Okay.
So these take shape in every way, shape, or form. I mean, you have a guardianship of a minor because minors aren't allowed to transact business.
Mm-hmm.
So people below 18 who inherit money or receive benefits in some way got to have a guardian appointed. Sometimes we have accidents that happen or medical emergencies that cause an individual to need a guardianship because, lo and behold, they're unable to handle their affairs. Mm-hmm. There's maybe no power of attorney in place. So in order to transact business for that individual, there has to be a guardian appointed. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have dementia-type issues where a person mind starts failing them, and we have to pursue a guardianship action in order to, again, handle their affairs, whether it be medical or financial in nature.
Okay.
So that's kind of to set the stage for this. This is a guardianship, and it really, really, in this particular case, Mike was kind of an agreed upon guardianship, which is an interesting situation.
Yeah.
So, this is Hudson v. Foster, no relation, for this Foster. And this is out of the California Court of Appeals. And, in this particular case, we have Nigel Hudson, and he was severely injured in an automobile accident in 2007. And his friend, Lucas Foster, who happens to be a film producer and owner of a company called Warp Films out in California, said, "Hey, look, Nigel, I want to make sure that, you know, you're taken care of." He said, "So I will make sure that we manage your affairs properly when you get your settlement relative to your automobile personal injury settlement.
Okay.
You know, your injuries are severe. I'm happy to loan you some money. Just want to make sure you're taken care of, buddy." And, you know, Nigel says, that sounds great. So during the period, you know, a little prior to, the guardianship, which happened in 2012, Foster, you know, made some loans over to Hudson,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately $9.3 million was received relative to, and that's after attorneys were paid,
mm-hmm.
relative to the settlement of the personal injury action.
The settlement from the wreck.
Correct.
Okay.
The settlement from the wreck. So Foster gets $9.3 million, and he then has to manage it on behalf of Hudson. That's what a guardian does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So during the period, which it only lasted a year, so evidently Hudson got to the point where he didn't need a guardian anymore. So during that 2012-2013 period, Foster distributed $4.3 million. So he distributed almost half of the money, and in a guardianship, Mike, what happens is that you can distribute money directly to third parties. So, for example, guardians are sometimes paying, you know, medical bills,
mm-hmm.
sometimes paying household expenses for the ward, or sometimes just giving money to the ward for them to expend. You know, sometimes like there's a stipend or an allowance relative to guardianship actions. And so during that period, he distributed the $4.3 million, and he files an accounting with the clerk's office, which is what's required here in North Carolina as well as California. And he shows, "Hey, look, I distributed $4.3 million and here's where the money went."
Okay.
And so has various checks on there and everything like that. And Hudson really didn't think that much of it. I mean, he was just like, "Okay, well, the money was expended. That's fine. No big deal." Time goes on. And lo and behold, Hudson gets a notice from one of the creditors and it says, they're not paid.
What?
Yeah. And he goes back to the accounting. He looks at the accounting and says, wait a minute, here's a check right here. It says $20,000 to this, you know, ambulance provider. What's going on here? So what does he do then, Mike? He decides to go ahead and get copies of everything and start looking more into the matter.
Yeah.
And it turns out that $558,000 worth of checks that purported to go to third-party creditors actually went into the pocket of
Lucas
Mr. Foster.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And he says, you know what? This looks like fraud, the F word, fraud. So he says, I'm going to file a motion to have this accounting set aside because I don't believe that it should have been approved by the court, and we need to, you know, rectify this situation. Problem is, it's been 4 years since the accounting has been approved by the probate court. So he goes and there's a hearing on the matter, and Hudson goes and presents his evidence relative to the fraud that had been committed. Foster obviously goes in and says, hey, look, number one, this is untimely. This is after the statute of limitations. It's been over 3 years since the accounting's been approved. His motion is untimely in nature. And number two, you know, well, I paid these things to myself, but then I worked out deals and negotiated some of these creditors, and it's not as bad as it looks.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what he tells the court. The probate court says, you know what, Mr. Foster? You got pretty good arguments there. Mm-hmm. You got pretty good arguments relative to statute of limitations and relative to the fact that maybe it's not as bad as it looks. So they side with him and say that the motion should not, the accounting should not be set aside and it should stand as filed. So what do? We go to the Court of Appeals in California. And this is where we asked Mike McCune to wield the gavel. So on one side, we have Lucas Foster, mm-hmm. who filed an accounting that, not quite accurate, and did a little slippery things, but he filed it 4 years ago. And we have Mr. Hudson in a car accident, severe injuries, trusted his friend, believed that the accounting was correct, found out later, three or four years later, that, hey, look, there's some problems with this accounting. When he found out, he brought the only thing he could bring was his motion to set aside this accounting. And he believes, you know, these checks, he can prove that, hey, they weren't written to the person that the accounting states they were written to. Mm-hmm. They were actually written to Lucas Foster. What say you, Mr. Court of Appeals Judge Mike McCune? Do you side with the guardian, Lucas Foster, or the ward, Mr. Hudson?
I think the guardian had a fiduciary responsibility in the agreement to do what he said he would do, is pay the bills, and he didn't. It was fraud. He paid himself. So I think the appeals court would overrule the lower court's ruling and side with the ward in this case, Nigel Hudson.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
How about that, huh?
Yeah. So the Court of Appeals set this one aside. And I think there's a couple lessons we can learn here, okay? You know, I think number one, it's so important because who becomes the guardian, or who you name as your power of attorney, who you appoint as your executor, mm-hmm. whoever you appoint to serve in these fiduciary roles, it's so important to, you know, pick the right person. Because you see here, he thought he was picking the right person. He thought he was picking, you know, Lucas Foster, who was a successful businessman and, you know, above board.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, it turns out that Lucas Foster did not, you know, treat this money as he should as a fiduciary.
I bet the boys in California at the DOR and the feds at the IRS are going to say, where's that 558 reported on your income tax too?
There you go.
Mr. Foster, he really dug himself a hole.
There you go. And, you know, I think that it's also important that even if things appear to be, if you represent the ward in this particular state, Hudson, even if things appear to be untimely, like let's say there's a problem there, sometimes because of the F word, fraud, you can get around statute of limitations because mm-hmm. the court does not like, you know, the fraudulent behavior of an individual, and they're willing to, you know, possibly look and see if there's any way possible under the statutes to allow an action to accrue such as this to set this accounting aside.
Yeah.
So it's very important. The other thing is for Lucas Foster is – get yourself a good attorney, get yourself a good individual to tell you how you need to handle these types of situations. This is big money. This is $4.3 million that's going out.
Yeah.
You know, and he needed to get someone to help, you know, instruct him, how do we handle this? What do we do? And if money's going to be paid to him, and then he's going to use his that money to negotiate debts, which is kind of a weird situation anyway.
Right? I thought that was weird.
Then, you know, that all needs to be above board and in writing. And so it's just a lot of lessons to be learned from this particular case.
And you can reach out to Andrew Foster if you find yourself in a similar situation at Harvell & Collins. Call 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com. Don't do it before it's too late. Good conversation and topic, and I'm 5-0 now on the bench. Very good. Thank you, Andrew.